This is the Everyday AI Show, the everyday podcast where we simplify AI and bring its power to your fingertips. Listen daily for practical advice to boost your career, business, and everyday life.
What's the difference between free ChatGPT and the paid version of ChatGPT Plus? Should you upgrade? What can you actually use ChatGPT Plus for? And do people actually still use the free version? All right, we're going to be tackling those questions today and more on Everyday AI. What's going on, y'all? Thanks for joining. My name is Jordan Wilson. I'm the host of Everyday AI, and this is for you. This is your daily live stream, podcast, and free daily newsletter helping everyday people like you and me not just learn this generative AI stuff, but how we can all actually leverage it to grow our companies and to grow our careers. And you know what? If there's one tool that we all probably use the most, it has to be ChatGPT. You could argue that ChatGPT started this generative AI wave that we've been riding the past two or so years. And I think that there's a lot of misconceptions out there about the free version of ChatGPT that anyone can use and the paid version of ChatGPT Plus, which starts at $20 a month. So today we're going to be tackling a lot of those big questions, going over, kind of some of the features, step by step, and also answering all of your questions. So if you do have any questions, get those in. All right, I'm excited for today's show. But before we dive into that, as a reminder, please, if you haven't already, go to youreverydayai.com, sign up for that free daily newsletter. If you're listening on the podcast, appreciate it. Make sure to check out your show notes, because we'll have a lot of related episodes there. And if you are joining us live on the live stream, what is going on to everyone? Jonathan and Brian and Tara, Woozy, Chrissy, we got a lot of folks in, Mike and Michelle and Chris and Rolando. Wow. What are your questions? What are your biggest questions about ChatGPT? Let me know. I'm going to tackle all of your questions at the end. But before we get into it, let's go over what's going on in the world of AI news. All right. So we have some updates from Google Cloud's next event. So it is happening right now through today in Las Vegas. So let's talk. So first, we have the Gemini 1.5 Pro launch. So Google Cloud introduced Gemini 1.5 Pro, offering enhanced opportunities for enterprise to leverage AI models. Released the Google Vids in Workspace. So that is a new addition to Google Workspace. Google Vids allows companies to create professional quality videos with customizable options. I actually think this is probably going to be one of the bigger outcomes or one of the things that people are using most out of the announcement. So make sure you check out more about that in the newsletter. Also, AI integration in Google Meet and Chat. So features like Take Notes for Me in Google Meet and Chat aim to enhance user experience and productivity. AI security tools for Google Workspace. So Google Cloud is rolling out additional AI security tools to bolster the safety of the workplace platform. And last but not least, Gemini models expansion. So we have some Gemini models are being expanded to provide more use cases, including financial services, universities, and startups, as well as Google rolled out some new versions of their Gemma small model as well. All right, let's go from one tech titan to another. It's that time of year, y'all. So Amazon CEO has revealed a generative AI shift. So Amazon CEO Andy Jassy disclosed in the annual shareholder letter just a few minutes ago, actually, that the company's significant investments in generative AI across three layers in the generative AI stack. So kind of going over some of these updates in their strategic vision. But the three layers include the bottom layer focusing on training models and producing predictions, a middle layer for customizing foundational models, and the top layer where Amazon develops generative AI applications for its consumer businesses. In this letter, two other things worth noting. Well, a lot of things, but we'll get you all that in the newsletter. But Amazon is aiming to transition from cloud computing through AWS to becoming a major player in the AI space with a focus on building and scaling generative AI applications. So not a shift away from the cloud necessarily, but really with a focus on building and scaling Gen AI applications. Also, Amazon announced the addition of Andrew Ng, a renowned figure in AI, to its board. All right, our last piece of AI news. And actually, if you saw our newsletter yesterday, you caught this because we got it in just minutes before we sent it out. But Udio has emerged as a strong competitor to Suno in the AI music game. Is that what we're calling it now? AI music game. All right. So Udio, a new AI music generator, has entered the scene as a rival to Suno, backed by tech and music heavyweights. So founded by former employees of Google's DeepMind, Udio boasts powerful capabilities in generating high-fidelity songs from just text prompts. Yes, you type in a little text, you get an amazing song with lyrics, vocals, mixed, everything. So Udio's output is noted so far for its crisp sound quality, potentially surpassing Suno in sonic clarity. So the company is supported by prominent figures in the music industry, including Common, Tay Keith, will.i.am, who praises Udio as a tool for creativity in the modern era. So this one's a little different. You actually have some big name musicians behind this. All right. Also, obviously, concerns have been raised about the use of copyrighted material to train AI models like Udio and Suno, prompting calls that we've talked about on the show before. You had the 200 musicians sign a letter, but prompting these calls for ethical and legal considerations from the Artists' Rights Alliance. So right now, Udio is free in beta and can make up to 1,200 songs a month. Yeah. So I guess now's the time to, you know, go take advantage of this free plan while it's still there. Not sure how long it's going to last. Also, we'll put this in the show notes, but we had the Suno CEO on our show a couple months ago. He actually wrote me a love song. How sweet, on Valentine's Day. All right. So there's going to be more AI news, as always, as well as a lot more, a recap from today's show. So make sure you go to youreverydayai.com and sign up for that free daily newsletter. All right. You know what? Last night, my wife asked me a question. She said, are people actually still using the free version of ChatGPT? That's a good question. And I want, hey, for our live stream audience, please get your question in now. You know what? I'll start here. There's been a lot of updates to ChatGPT. So maybe you first used it a year or two ago, or you know, maybe you just dabble in it here and there. But even just this week, some huge announcements. So I'm going to go over those first, and then we're going to start going over a comparison between the free version of ChatGPT and the paid version of ChatGPT Plus. So we're going to get into the nitty-gritty details, but let's first start with some of the news, right? So this is very fresh. So the GPT-4 Turbo model, which is what, if you're using the paid version of ChatGPT, that is technically the model you are using. So there's been some updates. So this was just April 9th, so Tuesday, I believe. So let's go over those updates first. Let's talk about what's new. All right, so GPT-4 Turbo update in the API. It's featuring improved vision capabilities. All right, developers previously had to use different models for text and image processing. Now they can use the same. So, you know, all these third-party tools, and there's thousands of them that use OpenAI's API. All of those are going to improve. So, you know, if you're using a lot of these tools that, you know, tap into OpenAI's API, which is literally thousands, you're probably going to see some improvements there as well as cost. Also, it is being called more intelligent in multimodal, right? So if you're new here, multimodal is the ability in both input and output to, you know, use multiple forms, or, you know, not just text, but text, image, you know, video's not there yet, but, you know, PDFs, spreadsheets, etc. All right. Also, they have announced, which is actually, I think, one of the biggest updates here, but they've announced an update to the knowledge cutoff from April 2023 to December 2023. We'll talk about that. That is not out yet. And as well as improved coding abilities. All right. So the GPT-4 Turbo model has been criticized after the last couple of updates because people said, hey, it's getting lazier at coding. I'm asking it to code and it's not, you know, putting out the full code output. Well, there's actually a setting for that, by the way, that most people skip over to force GPT to spit out full code. But, you know, we'll get into that more in a bit. All right. So, hey, that's cool. Ken says there's a good turnout today. Well, that's good. Well, make sure to get your questions in. All right. Hey, Jonathan's saying no video or audio. Let him know. Hopefully y'all can see and hear. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the marketing, all right? And this is important, all right? And this is something that's different about everyday AI and something that, you know, personally, I take a lot of pride in. So not getting into my background, but, you know, I spent how many years? About 7 years as an investigative multimedia journalist, right? So when all these companies put out press releases and features and they say, oh, our new model can do this, this, and this, we never just spit that out to you verbatim. We test everything, okay? Also worth noting, our team has been using the GPT technology since 2020, late 2020, right? So the GPT-3 technology became commercially available to consumers late 2020 in tools such as Copy AI, Jarvis, et cetera. So our team has been using dozens of these GPT tools for actually years before ChatGPT came out. I always like to put that out there. So I have a background as a journalist, so I'm okay at words. You know, our team's been using the GPT technology for a long time. And I actually don't know anyone else in the world who has talked as much about ChatGPT as I have, right? I literally talk about it almost every single day. We've been doing it for more than a year, okay? I'm not saying I'm the smartest person in the world. I'm not, but I'm saying we take our time. We investigate things deeply because, hey, if you're listening there, if you're watching, if you're joining us, I want you to know we don't take this responsibility lightly because I think ChatGPT is one of those tools that if you use it correctly, it can completely change the trajectory of your company, of your career. And I'm not saying that lightly, okay? ChatGPT is a better writer than me, but people don't understand. They don't want to learn how to use it correctly, right? I was a Pulitzer Fellow. I won ACP Story of the Year. I did okay as a journalist. ChatGPT is a better writer than me. People don't care to learn how to use large language models like ChatGPT, or they're using the wrong version, right? And that's why I think it's important to have this conversation of, hey, free versus paid, what's the difference? All right, so speaking of the marketing, let's go over. Because one thing, just as an example, and we're going to get to this in our chart, but in that recent update, you know, with the GPT-4 Turbo update from this week, ChatGPT said a lot of things. They said, oh, you know, new knowledge cutoff. They said, you know, improved memory, 128,000 tokens. I'm not going to dive into that, but that's essentially ChatGPT's ability to retain information, to have a memory, which is another big thing that people get wrong. And another thing that if you're using the free version of ChatGPT, you are at a huge disadvantage. So I just have a quick little example here, right? Just to show you guys, yes, we test everything. Yes, I bring receipts. Yes, we have a screenshot here. All right, so I just did this less than an hour ago. So ChatGPT says, oh, much improved memory. No, not yet. It's not rolled out. So in this example, right, I'm sharing it on my screen. So if you're listening on the podcast, let me explain. So I said, my name is Jordan. My favorite food is deep dish pizza. My favorite color is Carolina blue. I'm from Chicago, right? And then I'm asking ChatGPT immediately to recall this information, right? And it does so correctly. But you'll see here, I have a token counter. So what that means here is because at this point, I've only used about 100 tokens. And a token is essentially a piece of a word. And it can recall it just fine, right? But then when I push ChatGPT and I put a bunch more information in, and here I'm at 39,000 tokens, right? And I'm asking it the exact same question. What is my favorite food? What is my favorite color? Where am I from? And ChatGPT says, I don't have information. So what that means is ChatGPT is still at 32,000 tokens, which is give or take 27,000 words, which isn't a lot, okay? We're going to talk more about this when we compare free versus paid. But I want you all to know that when I'm giving you all this information, I'm not just taking this spoon-fed information from a press release, not paid by OpenAI. I say bad things about OpenAI. I'm very critical about them. I'm very critical about Google and Gemini and Anthropic's Claude. Because I want, if you're listening, if you're tuning in, I want you to know that you can trust what we're telling you. We test everything. We do screenshots, receipts, always. All right? So, hey, I like this, Marcus. Marcus said, if you don't listen to Jordan, your writing will delve into the nexus of the changing landscape of AI while you discuss the beacon as it emerges from a sea of confusion. That is hilarious. Yes. You know, if you don't really know what you're doing inside ChatGPT, you're going to get some very robotic outputs like that. All right. So let's keep this thing going and talk. So check out your show notes because we did an entire tutorial. That is not what this show is. We're not going to be doing a tutorial here, okay? So we did a 7 steps on how to actually use ChatGPT in 2024. So we just did that episode a couple of weeks ago. It is, I think, the most comprehensive guide to properly using ChatGPT in 2024 on the internet, bar none. All right. So if you haven't already listened or watched that episode, make sure to go check that out. All right. Enough chit chat. Pun intended, maybe, with the chat. All right. So let's start talking about the difference here between ChatGPT, the free version, and ChatGPT Plus, the paid version. Okay. So if you're listening on the podcast, I'll do my best to explain it. I have a little chart here, but we're just going to go side by side. We're going to run through the features, and this isn't just what the company is telling you. This is tested. Okay. So cost. The free version is obviously free. ChatGPT Plus is $20 a month. Okay. Or $30 a month for Teams. All right. So if you do have a Teams account, you have to have a minimum of two accounts and you can have up to 149. There's a lot of benefits to the team account. One of them, as we go down to our next row here, is limits. So there's GPT-4, the free version is throttled. Okay. So during peak times, it's going to be very slow. You're not getting that with ChatGPT-4. It's priority access. Also, the limit here is 40 messages for 3 hours. Okay. So what that means, if you have a paid account, you get 40, you essentially get 40 messages with ChatGPT. And after that, you get put on a timeout, right? Whether it's, if you go through those 40 messages in 30 minutes, then you have to wait another 2 hours and 30 minutes. All right. But if you are on a Teams account, most people don't know this because ChatGPT and OpenAI don't do a good job of promoting this. You actually get double. That's literally one of the reasons why we immediately upgraded to Teams, right? Because we, as heavy ChatGPT users, we run into that limit pretty often, right? So now you can double that limit. Pretty cool. All right. So let's talk about strengths. So there's not a lot of strengths in the free version, if I'm being honest. I mean, one of them is it's free. All right. So I guess there's a strength. And for being free, it is faster. So they have updated the free 3.5 model over the course of the last year and a half. So it is faster than it used to be. That's its only strength. It's still very slow compared to GPT-4, especially if you are using it during a high traffic time, right? It's kind of like how, data used to be on a phone, right? Before we got unlimited data, during the busy times, it would be throttled and you'd be like, my gosh, right? Same thing if you're using the free version of ChatGPT. Also, if you are only, let me just go ahead and get a small rant out of the way now. If you are only using the free version of ChatGPT, you have zero clue on what a large language model is capable of. All right. I'm going to talk about this a little more, but ChatGPT Plus is the only, right now, the only business operating system that there is for a large language model. Microsoft Copilot is very close. Gemini is far, but could get there. Gemini from Google. You have Anthropic's Claude, which could get there. But right now, OpenAI's ChatGPT Plus is a business operating system. Literally almost any knowledge-based task that you can do, you can do it and automate it with a large language model inside of ChatGPT Plus with its different integrations. All right, so let's talk about those integrations. All right, in the free version, the only integration you really have is you have voice on the mobile app, right? So that means that you can ChatGPT can use its voice, right? And you can talk to it on the app only. It's different on the web, okay? You don't have that capability. That's it. All right. So here is where the paid version of ChatGPT Plus really starts to separate itself from the free version when we talk about the integrations. Okay. So we have advanced data analysis, also sometimes called code interpreter. They flip-flop the names a lot. Essentially, think of it like this. A lot of times early on, people said, oh, ChatGPT stinks at math. Well, it did early on. But now, for the most part, it is using advanced data analysis. So when it comes to advanced computation, don't believe what you something that was floating around on the internet. There's actually very quote unquote famous, AI influencers who are still posting about, oh, ChatGPT is not good at math. and they're, you know, taking screenshots from the free version of ChatGPT, right? If you are using the free version of ChatGPT, it is bad. It's not good. It's not good at anything, right? Let me even tell you this. When ChatGPT first came out, right, in, what are we at now? November, that was November 2022? Gosh, I should really know that. Yeah, I believe it was November 2022. We didn't use it. I mean, we used it at first, but it was so bad. And there was all these other tools that we were using that was using the same technology that were much better. The free version of ChatGPT Plus is not good. If I'm being honest, there's really no reason to use it. Hardly ever. There's better free alternatives to ChatGPT, to GPT 3.5. All right. But the integrations is really where ChatGPT Plus shines. Paying that $20 a month gets you a lot. So advanced data analysis, it is slash code interpreter for advanced computation, math, being able to data analysis, right? Like coding, right? Speak, you know, it can go and spit out some Python, spit out some JavaScript, you know, it can speak so many different coding languages. It can help you write code. It can help you debug. People overlook that, right? All right. Also now in GPT-4, or ChatGPT Plus, it's multimodal. The default is multimodal. It used to be different modes. What that means is within one mode, you can be working in the same chat. You can use all these integrations in one chat. You can upload a photo and it can use vision. So, you know, ChatGPT has computer vision, right? It has this vision where you can upload a photo of anything and it can tell you exactly what it is. You know, hey, here's a picture of a plant that's dying. What's going on? It'll be able to tell you exactly what type of plant it is. It'll be able to tell you based on who knows what kind of smart computer vision and algorithms are inside there. It can tell you, oh, your plant is dying because you're giving it too much water and not enough sunlight. And here's the type of plant it is. And here's how you should properly be taking care of it, right? So that is an example of vision. You can upload PDFs and have it, you know, essentially use OCR or to extract text from PDFs. You can, you know, find, you know, talk to PDFs. You can chat with PDFs within the default mode. You can use DALL-E, which is OpenAI's image generator, all within the same mode. And you can have conversations, right? You can have conversations with all of these documents and retain this knowledge within the same chat, right? So think, let's say you're working on a project and you have a spreadsheet, you have some PDFs, you need to create an infographic. You need to write a blog post outline. You can do all those things in one chat in a couple of minutes. Something that might have taken you, used to take you a day to do all those things, you can do it all within one chat now. You don't have to switch back and forth. And the great thing that people don't fully understand about large language models, especially those that have a lot of integrations or third-party capabilities, is you retain all this knowledge, right? You could say, hey, write me a blog post on how to care for your plant, right? It'll write you the blog post. Then you could say, hey, give me three photos that go along with this blog post. It'll do it. And then you can say, hey, look up stats on, types of plants and the water they need in the sunlight, and then turn that into a table and then export that as a spreadsheet. It can do that, right? You can find a scientific study about plants and, you know, it has millions of data points and you can crunch all those data points, right? So you can literally spend your entire day inside of one chat, inside of ChatGPT, using all of these different integrations. We didn't even get to GPTs, right? So GPTs are a customized version of ChatGPT. You can essentially make, right? Let's just go with this random example. I don't know why I was thinking of plants. I think it was because I went to go buy a new mic and at Guitar Center, there was a plant that was dying. Anyways, so you can create a GPT based on plants to help you, you know, let's say you are working around plants, right? You can create a GPT and you can upload all these documents and you can kind of configure it to respond to you in a certain way or, whatever custom configuration. And then you can use that custom GPT anywhere. So you could, in theory, make dozens of custom GPTs. They take like a minute. Doesn't mean it'll be good after a minute, right? You got to put a little work in to make it good. But you could literally look at every single part of your day, every single thing that you do at your job, every single main category of tasks. You could spend a couple minutes or an hour to build a GPT that will help you in those areas. And then you can just literally You should probably use the PPP, Prime Prompt Polish, the method that we teach, the prompt engineering method, which, hey, we're doing another free class today in a couple hours. So if you're tuning live, if you've taken the PPP course, let me know what you think. Have you taken the new one? Right? So you should be still using some, you know, prompt engineering 101 basics, but you can be using all of these different GPTs that are essentially automating your work for you. You say, hey, when I'm asking about this type of plant, you need to refer to this knowledge base from our company, this document, right? You can literally do almost everything. If you are a knowledge worker, right? And that means you sit in front of a computer, you type all day, you read all day, you code all day, you ideate all day, you create presentations, sales letters, whatever, right? If you sit in front of a computer and you're typing and you're learning and you're thinking and you're analyzing, those are all things you should probably be doing inside of ChatGPT now. Also worth noting, you know, I got to put my disclaimer up there. Number one, not paid by ChatGPT to tell you this. It's just better than everyone else. Number two, never upload confidential sensitive data, right? Because even in Teams mode, right? So we were talking about Teams mode. So you have some more data controls. You can tell ChatGPT not to train on your data. But still, you shouldn't be uploading any confidential, sensitive, proprietary documents or information into ChatGPT or any other large language model. Don't do it, right? And also, if you work in a big company, make sure to talk to the appropriate people, right? So that could be your chief technology officer, your chief information officer, maybe your chief marketing officer, etc. If you haven't already, talk to them and said, what is our generative AI plan? How are we using large language models? Start having that conversation now. You should have had that conversation a year ago. All right. Hey, Tara says she loved the PPP course. Thank you. Jose, tuning in from Spain. What's going on? Michelle, the PPP course. So we usually do it twice a week. I think today we're starting at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. All right. So let's keep going here on our, sorry, I got off on a little rant, y'all. So integrations, there are really none in the free version, a lot inside of GPT-4 Turbo. Uploads, you can't upload anything with the free version. With the paid version, you can upload PDFs, spreadsheets, JPEGs, you can upload your code, etc. Cutoff, so knowledge cutoff or the training data, that's important, right? So that's important to understand. So at least as of 40 minutes ago, the cutoff for the free version of ChatGPT was January 2022. For the paid version, it should be December 2023 any day, but as of now, it's still April 2023. So what that means, I'm not going to get into a lesson on how large language models work, but essentially they scrape up all the information on the internet, right? GPT-4 is a 1.8 trillion parameter large language model. So these models scrape up literally all the information on the internet. Yeah, copyrighted material, everything, books, movies, open internet, closed internet, everything, right? And then humans kind of train it. But essentially, it's only data right now through April 2023. So all of the data, even on the paid version, all the data that the model was trained on is now more than a year old. So that's important to keep in mind. And, you know, we talk about that a lot more in our free Prime Prompt Polish course. So just keep that in mind. But one of the biggest integrations that you have within GPT-4 Turbo is browse with Bing. Okay. So what that means is if ChatGPT Plus, if when you're talking to it, if it determines or if you tell it to. So either way, if you're giving it a command and saying, hey, what's the newest, information on this type of plant, right? It might query Bing. So it might use Bing to see, hey, is there any new information on this plant? And, or you can obviously say using browse with Bing, please tell me, you know, NVIDIA's stock price as of today. You wouldn't want to know NVIDIA's stock price from, you know, April, 2023 or sooner, right? So that's a huge integration and a huge advantage to ChatGPT Plus is its ability to connect directly to the web, right? Because if you want to cut down on hallucinations, that's another big, I wouldn't say misconception. It's people don't know how to deal with hallucinations because they don't understand large language models, how to work them. But, you know, if you're using the free version of ChatGPT, you're going to get a lot more hallucinations than if you're using the paid version, which can query the web, or you can use a GPT and visit specific URLs, right? Which you can't necessarily do using Browse with Bing. All right, and then memory. So we talked about that. It's not 128,000 yet for GPT-4 Turbo. Right now, it is 32,000. I just did a test. Once we got past 32,000 in that test, it forgot everything, okay? So that's another important thing to keep in mind. I'd say two of the biggest things is the knowledge cutoff in working with old data that will give you hallucinations. The second is memory, right? After a certain amount of time, ChatGPT is going to start to forget stuff. And you're going to be like, why? Large language models stink. No, they don't. You're just not using it right, right? If you buy a $1,000, bicycle, and then you're like, why doesn't this bicycle fly? This bicycle stinks. This is the worst bicycle ever. No, it's a bicycle. It's not an airplane, right? All right. You have to understand what a large language model isn't, what it is, what it's not, what the free version can do, what it can't. All right. So very quick recap, free versus paid, right? In a nutshell, you shouldn't really be using ChatGPT 3.5, the free version. I'm going to tell you what you should, if you don't want to pay a dollar, if you don't want to pay a dime, there's better options out there for free, but you should be paying $20 a month. It is the easiest $20 a month. If it was $200 a month, I would still be subscribing. It is that good if you know what you're doing. All right, ready? So let's tackle some of the most important questions. I'm scrolling through here. I'm going to get to your questions at the end. So if I missed it, I'm sorry, but please just get your questions in again. So I'm kind of just scrolling through. If I see a question mark, I'm going to put a star on it. And hopefully I didn't miss any questions. But let's get to some of the big questions. We're just going to go straight question and answer here, y'all. This isn't a tutorial, where we do things live. All right, just trying to give you the facts. Ready? What are the restrictions of the free version of ChatGPT 3.5? Well, the restrictions are the knowledge cutoff, being January 2022. It doesn't have any of these integrations that we talk about so often. You know, DALL-E, Browse with Bing, Advanced Data Analysis. The free version is very limited. It is older. It is slower. It is not as powerful. The other thing that people don't understand about the free version, it is two different models, right? It's not like, I'm using the same thing as the paid version. It's just, a little limited. No, it is completely different. I always tell people the easiest way to compare them is the free version of ChatGPT 3.5 is a landline. The paid version is the newest smartphone, all right? It's not that you have the same smartphone and it's some of the features are gone. No, it is completely different brains, completely different engine, whatever you want to call it. It is trained differently. You shouldn't use it if I'm being honest. All right. But that's the biggest restriction is it doesn't have all of these advanced features, integrations. It is older. It is slower. It is less powerful. All right. Next big question, do I need an account for ChatGPT? Well, that has actually changed recently, all right? Yeah, we keep this up to date, y'all. So right now, you do not need an account at all to use the free version of ChatGPT. So OpenAI just updated this about a week and a half ago. So you can literally log on. You can be on a new computer, incognito browser, whatever. You can just go to ChatGPT's site and use it immediately. Pretty cool, right? However, the free version's not good, right? If you wanted to save your chats, even in that free version, you still have to sign up for an account. But for whatever reason, if you just need a quick, if you need to figure out, something that is, something about the Revolutionary War, right? That's literally the only thing I would be using a large language model for is something that hasn't been updated in the last 2 years. Yeah, you don't even need an account. You can just log in there. It's not going to save your chat. It's not going to save your history. You don't have any of these features, but you technically don't even need an account now to use the free version. Obviously, to use the paid version of ChatGPT Plus, you first need to sign up for a free account, and then you can immediately, as soon as you sign up and verify your account, you can upgrade to the paid version, $20 a month for ChatGPT Plus, or $30 a month for ChatGPT Teams. There's also ChatGPT Enterprise, which is priced like who knows what, because you got to have like 500 people to just talk to someone. All right, next. Question, Is the free version of ChatGPT good enough versus ChatGPT Plus? No, it's not good at all. You honestly shouldn't use ChatGPT 3.5 ever. I'm going to tell you why here in a minute. Next big question that comes up all the time. Is the paid version of ChatGPT Plus using ChatGPT-4 worth it? Yes, absolutely. Right now, right, there are literally hundreds of new generative AI tools that come out every day. Thousands of new generative AI tools a week. By far, hands down, ChatGPT for $20 a month is probably the biggest steal in the history of software because of its third-party integrations, right? We can talk about, you know, chatbot leaderboards and benchmarks and, oh, what about Claude, Claude Opus, Claude 3 Opus? It's technically benchmarking a little higher. Yeah, but it doesn't connect to the internet. You don't have all these thousands, there's literally millions of GPTs in the GPT store. You can bring your business inside of ChatGPT. You can't do that right now with Anthropic's Claude 3. You can't do that right now with Google's Google Gemini, even their new 1.5. And you can't even really do it right now with Microsoft Copilot, at least not in the same manner, right? ChatGPT Plus for $20 a month. People are always like, oh, no, I don't need to spend that $20 a month. I can use it for free here. No, you can't. I'm gonna go through. I'm gonna, kick some myths and some common misconceptions to the curb. Is it worth it? Abso-friggin-lutely. If you're not paying the $20 a month for ChatGPT Plus, I don't know what you're doing. I don't care if you're a student. I'm not trying to be rude here, y'all. Like, I know money can be tight for people. Maybe you lost your job. You're right. So I have to take those things into consideration. Maybe $20 a month is a lot for you. I will tell you this, that $20 a month can change the trajectory of your life. I'm not exaggerating, right? Maybe you need to get a job. ChatGPT Plus can get you a job very quickly. Upload your resume, use an external GPT. It'll rewrite your resume quickly. It'll create, custom cover letters. It'll create, customized emails to people applying for jobs, and you can do it all in scale and bulk. Have you ever applied for 500 jobs in an hour before, all custom resumes, custom, right? You can do that with ChatGPT Plus, right? I'd hate to be like, oh, you got to spend money to make money, right? But $20 a month pays for itself if you know what you're doing, hitting enter once in 20 seconds, right? You are winning back your time. How much is your time worth? ChatGPT, I'd say for every hour that I use it, depending on the use case, right? Very easily saving me 3 to 10 hours for every hour. I am gaining back so much time, right? How much is your time worth?
Hey, this is Jordan, the host of Everyday AI. I've spent more than 1,000 hours inside ChatGPT, and I'm sharing all of my secrets in our free Prime Prompt Polish ChatGPT course that's only available to loyal listeners like you. Here's what Lindy, who works as an educational consultant, said about the PPP course.
I couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting the results from ChatGPT that I needed and wanted. And after taking the PPP course, I now realized that I was not priming correctly. So I will be heading back into ChatGPT right now to practice my priming, prompting, and polishing.
Everyone's prompting wrong, and the PPP course fixes that. If you want access, go to podppp.com. Again, that's podppp.com. Sign up for the free course and start putting ChatGPT to work for you.
All right. What are the biggest advantages of ChatGPT Plus? We talked about these, but the third-party integrations, GPTs, you have 4 million GPTs on the GPT store that you can just install from third-party developers. You can create your own GPTs around, your custom configurations, your own knowledge base, browse with Bing, the ability to stay more up-to-date with all this information, advanced data analysis, DALL-E, right? Like, what am I forgetting? I think that's mostly everything. The ability to upload files is huge, right? I know that sounds weird. You can't do that right now in Google Gemini, right? The ability to upload a photo and say, what is this? How do I fix it? The ability to upload a PDF and say, hey, you know, I don't understand this section. Explain it to me. Or just, I don't want to read this 50-page PDF. I'm looking for this one answer. Find it for me. You know, uploading a spreadsheet with, you know, 500,000 data points and being like, tell me what's going on here. Why did revenue drop in e-commerce on this webpage from quarter one to quarter two? You could spend days looking for that. Or you know what you're doing, a couple seconds inside of ChatGPT. So a lot of advantages to ChatGPT Plus for that $20 a month. Here we go. Here's a common question. Hey, Tara says, preach. Rotem, thank you. Thank you for listening. All right. Tanya is saying that ChatGPT organizes and combines information I couldn't get anywhere else. Absolutely. ChatGPT Plus changes the way you learn. It changes the way you synthesize information. It changes the way that you create information. It changes the way that you create intelligence. It changes the way that you collaborate, right? Like, think of, you know, all the major tech innovations ever, right? So the internet, cloud, mobile, right? Generative AI is 10 times more impactful than all of those things combined. People still don't understand this. Maybe you will eventually. All right, here's another common question. Is Microsoft Copilot's GPT-4 the same as ChatGPT Plus? This is actually, I think, one of the things that people get wrong the most. Okay, so here's what a lot of people don't know. If you just go to Copilot, so that's Microsoft. So it used to be called, Bing Chat. So now it's just called Microsoft Copilot. Okay, so Microsoft Copilot is free. You can just go to copilot.microsoft.com. You can use it for free right away. You don't even need an account. If you do create a free account, you can save your chats. And here's the thing. You get to use GPT-4 Turbo for free. So people are like, oh, I would never pay for ChatGPT Plus. That's silly, right? I'm going to use the free version of GPT-4 Turbo inside of Microsoft. Well, over the last couple of weeks, Microsoft has been tearing off access to certain features that were previously available for free. All right. We're not going to get into the intricacies, but essentially, Microsoft also has its own training layer in addition to GPT-4. So it's not like the exact same thing, it is vastly different. So you could say it's a similar make of engine, but every other part in the car is completely different. Right. And the parts, at least right now, inside of ChatGPT are exponentially better than the parts inside of just the browsing version of Copilot, right? Where Copilot really shines is when you start paying for that Copilot Pro, which is $20 a month, or Microsoft 365 Copilot, which is the more enterprise version. That's where it starts to pay off, right? When you can start bringing in your information from Microsoft Word, Microsoft Sheets, Microsoft Teams, etc., and your knowledge, your information, and your files follow you around from place to place, right? So if you're using the pro version even, you get most of that functionality, right? So even at that $20 a month, if you're using Microsoft products, if you're using Outlook, if you're using Microsoft Word, Microsoft Sheets, etc., you should be paying that $20 a month, okay? People say, oh, when should I use Copilot instead of ChatGPT? Well, I say, hey, if you or your team are heavy, you know, Microsoft users, if you use Microsoft for everything, you might not need, you know, ChatGPT, right? You could probably still benefit from it, but you might not need it, right? Because if you are one of those Microsoft heavy organizations, you're doing everything in Microsoft. You know, you're in PowerPoint, you're in, you know, Google Docs, right? Unfortunately, the Copilot Pro, at least as of like a week ago, doesn't work inside of Teams. You need the Microsoft 365 Enterprise version, but everywhere else, your data follows you and you can essentially quote unquote talk to GPT anywhere, right? You can be inside Microsoft Excel and say, hey, what's, plot this linear graph, or what does all this data mean? Or you can be inside PowerPoint and you can say, hey, you know, there's this email with all this information. I need to make a presentation on it. Make the presentation and it'll do it, right? So in those situations, okay, in theory, you might not need ChatGPT, right? Are there still things you can accomplish in ChatGPT that you can't inside Microsoft Copilot Pro? Absolutely. But if you are just looking at the web version alone of Copilot and you're saying, oh, I don't need ChatGPT Plus because I can use GPT-4 for free. Well, there's no GPTs, right? It's much more limited. I personally am not a huge fan of a lot of the results in Copilot, right? Even if I'm just, you know, doing some basic prompting, if I'm asking for some information, not a huge fan of Copilot. It does have a couple of great features, which we've talked about on the show before, but overall, it's not the same thing. Apples and banana chips. All right, another common question. Is Perplexity's GPT-4 the same as ChatGPT Plus? Not really. All right. Couple things to know about Perplexity. It's not really a large language model. People think it is. It's not. It is an answer engine that uses other models, right? So when you sign up for Perplexity, right, you essentially get, even on a free account, you can use what's called the Copilot. I know everyone uses the same terminology. It's confusing. But you get five of these kind of GPT-4 powered searches. I think it's every 3 hours. All right. Not a lot. So can you use GPT-4 for free and Perplexity? I mean, kind of. But again, it's not the same thing. It's an answer engine. You know, they obviously have their own, algorithms that change drastically how it works. So if you think, oh, I can use a same type of prompt or the same purpose of something inside ChatGPT Plus versus Perplexity, it's completely different, right? You're just using that as the base engine. Everything else functions completely different, right? And even within Perplexity, you can choose, right? You can choose, oh, I want to use GPT-4. I want to use Anthropic's Claude 3 Opus, etc., right? So not the same thing. Perplexity is an answer engine. You only get five. Is that enough? I love Perplexity. I use it every day, but it's not the same thing, right? I'll say this. If you think, oh, I'm getting GPT-4 for free here, right? Oh, using, Poe or, all these others, right? That a lot of these third-party platforms do give you somewhat limited access to GPT-4 for free. It is not the same because you don't get those GPTs. You don't get DALL-E. You don't get Browse with Bing. You don't get advanced data analysis. You don't get the ability to upload and chat with your files and have these ongoing conversations with all these different modes. It's different things. What good is the engine if you don't have all the pieces that make the engine go? Again, common misconception. All right, where can I get GPT-4 for free? This is another common question. I kind of already answered it. The best place, right, is Copilot, Perplexity, and then there's literally dozens of third parties that you can, tap in and get, somewhat limited use of the GPT-4 technology for free. Is it the same? Absolutely not. Right. Those are just people that, are posting stuff on social media and they want to seem super smart. It's not the same, y'all. It's not the same. All right. Another common question. When is ChatGPT 4.5 or ChatGPT 5 coming out? Who knows? Who knows? So it's been rumored that it would be in the latter part of 2024. Sam Altman has been on a couple podcasts, a couple interviews, and he's referenced that they're going to have multiple updates, right? And we just saw an update this week with an updated model. He hasn't confirmed. He did allude to that it would be in 2024. What I believe is that OpenAI is going to wait until after Apple announces their generative AI offering. Apple will be doing that in June this year at their WWDC, their Worldwide Developer Conference. I believe that within a couple of weeks to a couple of months after that, OpenAI would release the next version. Whether they are going to go with this more iterative approach and do GPT 4.5, or whether they're going to jump to straight, GPT 5. But no one really knows. It is believed to be later or in the latter part of 2024. Personally, I think they're going to wait until after Apple announces something. Reportedly, Apple is actually going to be teaming up with Google and tapping into their Gemini model, which is interesting because I don't know if that's the best move, at least as of, Gemini was last week. I know we have, new updates that are less than 24 hours old. I do think Gemini is getting better. But, I think a lot of these things are going to play into when OpenAI releases it. Because here's the reality, y'all. Even though GPT-4 is more than a year old, it is still better than everything else. Yes, I know if you look at the chatbot arena, if you're looking at certain benchmarks in certain ways, Claude 3 Opus might be a little ahead, or you know, Gemini 1.5 Ultra might be a little ahead. But here's the thing. Those models are like a couple of weeks to a month or two old. GPT-4, when you combine it with all, and a lot of the GPT-4 benchmarks are not on the most recent version of GPT-4 Turbo. Let's put that out there. So I'm sure we're going to see still, you know, even though this model is, you know, whatever, 18 months old, it is still better, hands down, than everyone else. Even if you're just looking at model to model, I still think it's better, you know, or just, you know, half percentage point behind all these ones that are brand new. So there's no real reason if you're OpenAI, right, to have to release this soon. You know, maybe it was ready a year ago and they're like, ah, nope. You know, everyone's putting out brand new models that are more than a year behind OpenAI. So they don't need to put it out anytime soon. Who knows? They might drop it tomorrow. They might wait another year, you know? And, you know, we might see Sora in their new voice engine, you know, and all these things rolled out inside to ChatGPT. Maybe they need more compute power because they're going to release even more than we can think of. All right. Will ChatGPT-4 be free after ChatGPT-5 comes out? We're not sure, right? So presumably there will still be a free version of something after the next version is out. So, you know, maybe if it's 4.5, maybe the free version will still be 3.5. If they jump up to ChatGPT-5, maybe the GPT-4, not GPT-4 Turbo, will be free. No one knows. Presumably, there will still be a free version, but that's all assuming. All right. That was a lot. Let me see if I can get to a couple of your questions, if you still have them. And also, if you're still sticking around, thanks. I know this was a long episode, y'all, but there's just so much, I think, bad information out there. There's a lot of confusion. I wanted to do my best to say, hey, free versus paid, here's the differences. All right, so let's go through some of these questions quick and see if we can get them. So Tara asks, how does the performance and response time of the paid version of ChatGPT compare to the free version during peak usage times? It is exponentially faster, Tara. If you're using the free version during peak times, it crawls. It is so slow. It is like, you know, comparing, you know, dial-up internet with fiber internet. It's not even close. Cecilia, so earlier I was, giving the example of tokens. So she's asking, what token counter do you use? It is literally just called Token Counter. It is a Chrome extension. We've done a video review on it before. I'll try to put it in the newsletter today. All right, another question. So for PDFs, do you prefer GPT-4 Turbo by itself, or do you still use GPT-4 PDF AI? Okay, so asking here if you upload a PDF by default or if you use a GPT. It depends. A lot of these third-party GPTs, their performance really starts to fall off after a certain number of pages. You know, as an example, I know a lot of the third-party GPTs, right? So these customized versions that are kind of built to read or to interact with PDFs, they have a fall off after, you know, 30 pages, 50 pages, etc. So it depends, you know, and actually, you know, I was kind of mentioning earlier, I didn't get into the details where I'm like, oh, I still use Copilot for some things. I actually love, in terms of speed, accuracy, and citations, my favorite way to interact with PDFs is actually using the Microsoft Edge browser. And you can use Copilot to talk with it there. I actually love Microsoft Edge. If you don't know anything about it, it is Microsoft's newer browser. It's based on Chromium, which means all of your Chrome extensions, everything transfers over. So I'm a heavy Chrome user, so I like Edge. That's one thing that I love about Edge is you have your Copilot right there. You can click it in one button and instantly chat with a web page or chat with a PDF. I love Copilot's ability. It's super accurate. It cites pages. It highlights it, which is something that you don't get right now, not only in the default mode of GPT or any of these customized GPTs. I especially like that Copilot within the Microsoft Edge browser cites it. You can click it. It does a jump link and it can, you know, you can go down and read it. So, you know, it might cite three different things. You can click on those citations. It'll jump down to that part in the PDF and it'll be highlighted. I love it. It's how I prefer to interact with PDFs. Frank asking, does chat remember across threads yet? Ooh, Frank is paying attention to stuff. All right. So actually about 4 or 5 months ago, won't get into the weeds, but OpenAI released a beta feature that it didn't have a name, but most people, well, myself, call it cross chat memory. So it essentially, it's different than normal memory. Okay. So, or presumably it's different, but this feature hasn't rolled out to a lot of people yet. But essentially what it allows is it allows this cross chat memory. You know, let's say you open a new chat today and then you have a chat from, you know, 3 weeks ago because you went to PPP and you trained it on something specific. Normally those separate chats don't know each other. All the information inside doesn't know. Right. So this new cross chat memory, maybe they squashed it. I'm not sure. We haven't heard about it. It was kind of teased or super small release about 4 or 5 months ago. Haven't seen anything since. I don't think it's still being rolled out. So not sure if it's still going to be a thing, but the ability to essentially within your entire account for ChatGPT to know every single thing and you can reference, you know, anything from any other chat in any chat. So not sure yet. Separately, ChatGPT has a feature also being slowly rolled out called memory, two different things, where you essentially have a memory bank kind of like custom instructions, where as ChatGPT learns things about you, it automatically adds it to your memory. Like, Jordan's favorite color, he prefers responses and bullet points, et cetera. It'll add those things automatically, or you can add them manually. And then you can obviously go back and manage this memory. So it's two separate things. Neither of those things have seen broad rollout yet, Frank. All right. Martin, what's going on, Martin? So Martin's question, we were promised a memory function. Yeah, same thing. So sometimes, so he's asking, hey, it was teased a couple of months ago. Why haven't we received it yet? Some of these beta features are in beta for a week. Sometimes they're in beta for months. Sometimes they don't all roll out. So I don't have the answer to those yet. All I know is there's been two separate memory kind of features that have been teased or put into beta. They haven't been broadly rolled out to all paid users yet. And also important to know, generally these new features, like as an example, DALL-E, right? We got early access to DALL-E inside of our account, maybe like a couple of weeks before everyone else, but then everyone got it. So if you have a ChatGPT Plus account, you all have DALL-E. But sometimes these beta features take a little longer. Maybe they don't end up coming out. Maybe those people that had the beta got it taken away. I'm not sure. We don't have access to those. All right, Tara, another question. How does user feedback from paid subscribers influence the development and improvement of ChatGPT compared to free feedback from free users? Great question, Tara. I don't know the specifics, but if you've never seen it, sometimes when you're chatting with ChatGPT, you might get a split screen response. Essentially, ChatGPT is going to give you two different options, and it's going to say, which one do you prefer? So I've personally seen that from free accounts and from paid accounts that I've personally used. So essentially, it's a way to teach ChatGPT from its users which responses better resolve your query or your question. Tara, OpenAI has not said if it weighs the responses from paid users more than free. I do know that that kind of human feedback element, both free users and paid users receive it. OpenAI and I don't know which one they weigh more heavily. All right, I think, did we make it to the end, y'all? I think we made it to the end. All right. So I hope this was helpful doing a quick overview of free ChatGPT versus ChatGPT Plus. And to recap very quickly, what's the difference? The free version's not very good. You shouldn't use it, right? If you don't want to pay for ChatGPT, you should, but it's much better to just use something like Copilot because then you're getting a better model for free. Right. So there's really no reason to use the free version of ChatGPT 3.5, right? For $20 a month, I think it is the biggest no-brainer in the history of software and the history of the internet. All right. To pay $20 a month for ChatGPT Plus. If you know what you're doing, it pays for itself with, like I said, if you really know what you're doing, it can pay for itself that $20 hitting enter once. Like I said, I save for every 1 hour I put into ChatGPT, I easily get 3, 5, 10 hours of output out of it. So every single day, I'm easily making my $20 back. I'm probably making $200 back every single day in gained time. All right. So it's definitely worth it. That's it in a nutshell. Y'all, thank you. I know this was a long one. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, please. We don't ask a lot. We spend a lot of time making sure you get good information. If this was helpful, you know, this is hours of work. Take 10 seconds, please. Leave us a rating on Spotify or Apple if you enjoyed the podcast. If you're listening live, there's hundreds of you, or at least someone said there's 100 plus. Please repost this. Help your network. That's the thing. So many people are just trying to, you know, sell you bad information, right? They want you to share their stuff and put you on an email list and sell you some crap, right? I'm giving you vetted, up-to-date information. We spend hours every single day making this for free. All right. If you could repost this, tag a friend, send this to someone, we'd really appreciate it. Also, we'd appreciate you going to youreverydayai.com, sign up for the free daily newsletter if you haven't already. I know this was a long-winded episode. Get the short version there. And I hope to see you back tomorrow and every day for more Everyday AI. Thanks, y'all.
And that's a wrap for today's edition of Everyday AI. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a rating. It helps keep us going. For a little more AI magic, visit youreverydayai.com and sign up to our daily newsletter so you don't get left behind. Go break some barriers, and we'll see you next time.